surprises. They certainly come through all of life and would include introducing my wife at chapel. Here are a few surprises from marriage to Jennifer. An early memory. I was invited to dinner at Jennifer's parents' house to meet her maternal grandparents. Dinner was at 8:30. Sounds posh, doesn't it? Actually, Jennifer's grandparents lived in California, and her grandfather insisted on eating on California time while in Virginia. 8:30 in Virginia, 5:30 in California. The next surprise, Jennifer called her grandparents by their first names, Don and Nima. That was their choice. As you know, ministry can take many shapes and forms. You probably are unaware of my handkerchief ministry. Here is how it works. I carry a handkerchief, usually linen and when it needs to be ironed, in my hip pocket. It's understood that I will always have a handkerchief and Jennifer will probably tear up at some point. I stand ready today. And finally, for those who wonder whether an ISTJ can find happiness with an ENFP, the answer is yes.
Thank you, sweetheart. That was a surprise. And I did bring, he knows me well, so.
Hey, Jennifer, I've got a backup.
Oh, good. All right. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. It's pretty bad when you start out in tears. Well, growing up, my mom used to read aloud to my sister and me. And it was always a treat to snuggle together. We've got the floor lamp illuminating the words on the page. My favorite readings of all time were the short stories by O. Henry, The Ransom of Red Chief, Memoirs of a Yellow Dog, and probably his best known, The Gift of the Magi. So what was it that tied these works together and made them really so irresistible to me? Well, O. Henry was the master of surprise. So you remember in The Gift of the Magi when the newlyweds, though penniless, they want to purchase for each other an extravagant Christmas gift. Just one extravagant gift to really shadow or reflect their extravagant love for each other. We watch the story unfold. Jim knows the perfect gift for his Della are two tortoiseshell combs for his sweet wife's silky, silky, long brown hair. And likewise, Della is bent on giving her beloved Jim a platinum watch fob chain for his cherished pocket watch. Without a dollar to their name, each secretly devises how to scrape together the cash to purchase the gift for the other. And then in his inimitable way, O. Henry does his little magic. Well, like an O. Henry story, my journey in life has been filled with surprises all along the way. Some have been rich and fulfilling, but I'd have to say that most have kept me on the learning curve. Now, our son Christopher said that I should have, he goes, Mom, are you, you know, you'll have like a PowerPoint or something, you know, objects or, you know, something for your talk. And I was like, oh, yeah. So this is it. Surprise number one. Life is not always what it appears to be. Born and raised in Southern California, my family looked to be normal, and in many ways, there was quite a bit of normalcy. But I was an intuitive and very sensitive child, and deep down inside me, there was fear. And I also suffered from intense separation anxiety until I was in my late teens, really. My family revolved around my father and his career in college and professional football. And though we had many privileges, I knew something was amiss. There seemed to be one thing going on in public, and I wasn't seeing that at home. So life was not what it appeared to be. Surprise number two. God is always there planting seeds of faith, even when we don't know it. I grew up in the Episcopal Church, appreciating and enjoying the beauty and tradition. In my elementary school years, our neighbor, who was part of the Friends or Quaker Church, took a whole pack of us neighborhood kids to what I now know was an evangelistic event. It was there that I remember going forward to follow Jesus. And it still surprises me that the seeds of faith were planted really early on then, and that I still remember it. About 6 years later, my family moved to Houston when I was a sophomore in high school. I was 14, and I loved it. My sister, who was in her senior year of high school, different experience, made friends with a group of girls who were all Christians. And they went to the Baptist church across the street from our church. They were delightful. We were wary. Sometime later, my sister went to a summer conference with her girlfriends. And arriving home, Kathy announced that she loved Jesus. Mom, Dad, and I loved Kathy. We were wary about the Jesus talk. Still, God was planting. More seeds of faith came in college. I was struggling, and then I decided to go to a professor for help. And of all things, she pulls out a New Testament and asks me if she could pray with me. I was like, whoa. Another time in one of my classes, a guest speaker was a pastor who spoke on healthy marriage. And then, this is beyond me, I was going out with a popular guy on campus who, after Christmas break, came to tell me that he had just had this incredible experience and had become a Christian. Jesus was his best friend. Right there, I must have received the deluxe seed pack of faith. Planting seeds. Surprise number three. Even with a college diploma, there's just as much to learn in the school of hard knocks. Following college graduation, having moved with my parents to Virginia, I was all set for a job that I had secured months earlier, or so I had thought. I arrived at the managing editor's office, ready for my first day, had my new clothes on, only to be told that there'd been a misunderstanding and that the job had been filled the day before. Thus began a series of tumultuous years, seeing my parents struggle more with my dad's alcohol and other addictions, me so unsure of myself. The School of Hard Knocks was in session. Surprise number four. God God really does work in families. My parents were invited to a church where they heard and responded to the gospel. They loved the pastor. And after guilting me into going to church with them one evening, the pastor was chatting with a small group of folks, and I just happened to walk up. And he looks up and he looks at me and he goes, "Oh, here's Jennifer. She's one of the Lord's elect." Yeah, she's definitely one of the Lord's elect. I was stunned, to say the least, and I didn't get it theologically, but my heart felt hopeful with that. Soon I landed a job with a small daily newspaper in the Shenandoah Valley, and with a challenging job, a tyrannical editor, and a rocky relationship, these things all brought me to a realization that I was no match for this rough life. I called my sister. Kathy told me, "Hold on, Jennifer. Hold on." And within a 24-hour period, she had received extra money in the mail. She was the pastor's wife by this time. They had no money. And she flew from Florida to Virginia, embraced the mess that I was. And after several hours of conversation, she led me to the Lord Jesus. God works in families. Surprise number 5. Me marry a missionary? By God's grace, by God's grace and lots of ups and downs, Roger and I met and began dating. I often thank Roger for taking a risk on me. We were talking about risk before this, Steve. He took a risk with me. I was young in the faith, very young in the faith, and here he was, a mature man of God. I hadn't a clue about InterVarsity, and I was taken aback when one day someone called Roger a missionary. I'm like, oh my gosh. Probably one of my biggest surprises was going from being single to engaged to married to pregnant to being a new mom in 15 months flat. Whoa, did I marry a missionary? Surprise number 6. God is faithful beyond my imaginings. 5 years and 2 kids into our marriage, Roger's mom died very suddenly. Roger and I quickly learned how to care for a grieving family. Roger and I also became pivotal to our family as we assumed responsibility for his mother's aging sister, Aunt Grace. 2 years later, Christopher was born. When he was 5 months old, my dad, who was attending training camp with the then LA Rams, died with no warning. There were no goodbyes. Never would we have imagined what was to come. The difficult baggage from my dad's addictions triggered about 5 years of off and on depression, clinical depression, and anxiety for me. Like a severe mercy, the Lord Jesus began to reveal the truth. But reeling with pain, I really had nothing to give at all, anywhere. And my dear husband told me one day, I was like, I have no faith, honey. And he's like, I'll have faith for you. And he did. There were times when I wondered how I'd get through, and that's when I began to memorize, Great is Thy Faithfulness. All the verses, I know them all. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Well, in the midst of all this, we learned that we would be moving to Madison. And this is what led to surprise number 7. Moving to Madison seemed to be about Roger's ministry, but it was really about me. God has blessed me immensely during our years in Madison, and almost from day one, I have experienced extraordinary amounts of healing. I remember the day I was thinking about how we moved because of Roger's work, and then it struck me, what if the real reason we moved was for my healing? And what if Roger's job was, that was just the vehicle to get us here? It was really, for me, a liberating, out-of-the-box thought. It was a gift from the Lord. And it assured me that He had me in mind during this move. Surprise number 8. The God of the universe knows me, my exact needs, and communicates to me His love, His mercy, and His healing. In all of the emotional pain, God has been active in just amazing ways. It's truly incredible when I think of all the avenues that the Lord Jesus has used toward my healing. Counseling, prayer, the scriptures, of course, my covenant relationship with Roger, medicine, medical professionals, my children, InterVarsity friends, small groups, Bible studies, workshops, beauty, pure acts of God's grace. The most surprising mode of healing that God has used for this ordinary me, this ordinary person, has been dreams. Over a period of about 4 years, the Lord graciously supplied me with dreams. They were mostly in my sleep, but a couple of times there were daydreams. And each significant dream provided me with, and it's just astounding, with another piece of the puzzle toward my healing. Things that were from my background, events that involved my family. Very, very fascinating. And just talking about how God knows me and my needs, it still surprises me today. Surprise number 9. Even after years of seeing God work all things together for good, life is still a walk of faith. Like parenting, being a follower of Jesus doesn't get easier, but it does get different. When I think I've weathered one storm well, and I could imagine sauntering through the next storm, I find myself facing something new or a slight twist on a theme, perhaps. And I'm often put in the posture of trusting Jesus all over again. Besides the things I've mentioned, a few of those "will you trust me, Jennifer" things have been raising 3 children in an anti-Christian culture, learning how to honor our parents even when there are disappointments, leaning on God when Roger was hospitalized with dangerous illnesses, praying, encouraging, and caring for needy people, holding on during various changes in our earlier years with InterVarsity, helping aging parents and my aging self as well, trusting the Lord with what could have been a fatal head-on car collision for Roger, supporting each of our kids through surgeries, illnesses, emotional and spiritual crises, job challenges, moves, disappointments, military deployment, and of course now trusting God with another generation, our grandchildren. Then learning to let go of all these things. Yeah. I'm surprised to find myself often in the same place, and it's at the feet of Jesus, depending on him all the way. But that really should be no surprise at all. Okay, wait. What about Jim and Della? You're all wondering, I know. Last night, Roger was helping me and looking through this, and he looks on the first page, reads through, and then I see him looking at the last page, and I said, oh, making sure that I tell the end of the story, huh? Okay, back to our O. Henry story. Della did, in fact, find a way to buy the watch fob, and Jim, too, purchased the beautiful, beautiful combs. But here's O. Henry's surprise. Della cut and sold her hair to buy the watch fob. And Jim pawned his pocket watch to purchase the combs for Della. But instead of sorrow going on here, this twist of life led to joy. Each sacrificed for the other. They, like the Magi, gave up their treasures on behalf of another. And O. Henry's story makes me wonder today what surprises lay ahead still for me on the journey. Thank you.
Jennifer, can answer some questions, if you have some questions.
I think the story came at, I think we had a book of O. Henry work, and interestingly, he is buried in Asheville, North Carolina, where we, of course, went to an InterVarsity conference. And on one of our days off, went and saw his grave. It's very, very plain and rather surprising, actually, when I think about it. Any questions? Judy.
You mentioned the hymn, "Great Is Thy Faithfulness." Are there any scriptures that have been really grounding for you?
Yeah, thank you. Psalm 62. God is our solid rock, and we are, this came early on to me, where we can pour out our hearts to God, pour out your heart to God. And that was really important to learn to do for me. I came from a tradition where the mantra is, don't talk, don't tell, don't trust. And so pouring your heart out to anyone is a risk, but pouring your heart out to God was a great beginning for me. The other thing was, another scripture was, it was a very amazing experience. I was in a counseling appointment and recalling some difficulties and had kind of a picture of just a very life-giving picture, image that just came in my imagination. And that evening I went home and I was reading in the Psalms, and I'm sorry, I can't remember, I always forget which one it was, but the words jumped out on the page. It was another interesting thing where it felt like the words were magnified. And the words were, "I am forced to restore that which I did not, that which I did not do." And it was, or that which was taken from me, you know. I'm forced to restore that. And it was really a picture of how I was feeling, that I wasn't, that I needed to continue on the restoration, and that's okay, and that those who had hurt me would not be able to do that, but the Lord would take me through it. So, thank you. Steve.
Jennifer, your remarks this morning have been remarkably joy-filled and really hopeful and hope-filled, which is, it strikes me as being very remarkable given some of what you faced. During those times when you have not been joyful or hope-filled, how did you go through that season? You mentioned Roger having faith for you, mm-hmm. and your spiritual grounding has got you. But specifically, when you were hopeless or joyless, what did you do? Or did you do anything? What did you think? Mm-hmm. What did you do mm-hmm. to get to the point where you are today?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing. I forced myself to get out of bed. I lost a large amount of weight because I couldn't eat. I basically just willed myself, and I asked for help, and received it, and put one foot in front of the other. Another kind of a little method that I came up with was the 5-second method. And I would start, okay, I can make it through the next 5 seconds. And then I'd move to 10 or 15 seconds. And eventually I got to minutes, hours, and days. It's very dark. People who say, "Well, depression, you can just pull yourself out," you know, I'm fairly convinced that they have never experienced depression, because I might have said that myself. So, thank you. So. Oh, Karen.
I have a sneaky question.
Oh my gosh.
About your surprise of God working with families.
Mm-hmm.
So, how did your mom, you know, how is she doing now after the loss of her husband all those years ago?
Mm-hmm.
How is Roger's dad doing after his loss all those years ago?
Yes, it is. It's very sneaky. The the things that, that you have to know it are that when a family goes through a crisis, even though it's the same experience and it's the same family, everyone is going through it differently. And because of their roles in the family, you know, it's different. There are different roles too. And in our case, my mom was able to move on. She was able to close the chapter on her marriage, and had amazing experiences with the Lord, caring for her. And then one weekend, Roger's dad, who had been a widower for 2 years, I'd say, he called my mom and said, you know, why don't you come up to visit? They lived a couple hours away. Why don't you come up to visit, and I can just kind of tell you about how things are a little bit further down the road, you know, being without your spouse. And she did, and over a period of a couple of years, that relationship began to blossom, and they married.
You didn't include that in the surprise.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the reasons why I didn't is because it's distracting. Because you'd be like trying to figure this all out. Oh my gosh, you know, is this legal, you know? It is biblical, first of all. You know, families took care of families, you know. But also, it's not my story. It's their story. And if they were here, they would tell it with all the embellishments possible. The Lord has given them an extraordinary second chance in life. And really, it's just been a huge blessing, you know, for both of them. And it's been a blessing for us as well to see that. So I think we are finished. Thank you.
Thank you.
Introductions, announcements. Wow. Okay, let's pray together.
As it comes up, here we go.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.